last month's cheque. We'll be getting some federal government money.
I just want to complain.
That's another 3 weeks away, though. That's my problem.
Yeah. Is it each family member?
Pastor, could we do a sound check on you?
That's for our household. I didn't see.
We need a sound check on Pastor.
Sound check on Pastor.
Zero.
Hello?
1111111.
I need to hear in front of your camera.
1111.
That's a little too high, I think.
A little too high.
1111.
Makes an echoey sound. And he's not actually preaching yet.
1111. We got 1 minute to count down.
Yep.
Already.
I'll major on the one that's broadcasting. All I'm doing with this one today is recording.
Okay.
Until we get that figured out.
And once we could upload that to YouTube TV. Once you get it recorded, you can open much of that way.
Okay.
Once it's recorded. I'm going to turn this off until I get up there.
Okay.
So I'm off.
Pastor Kim, you're off too?
I should be.
Well, guys.
I should be on.
All right, I've got 7 o'clock.
I want to test you, referee.
What's that?
I just want to make sure I can hear you on here without having to get you there.
When I'm done, I'm going to walk around and take a look.
Okay. All
right.
And I'm going to be over here. You ready? All right, you're on.
All right. It is 7 o'clock here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're glad to have you on board tonight. Hope you've all tuned in that tried to get tuned in. And we're only on Facebook tonight, but we're going to go through our prayer requests just like we normally do. And then Pastor's going to come, share some things after we pray, and then we'll have a regular study tonight. And he's going to be speaking on this series, What to Believe. So we're going to do that. Let me go through the prayer list just a little bit for you tonight. We normally pray for ministry prayer requests, including spiritual, numerical, and financial growth, salvations, sanctifications, and baptisms. And we're praying for the theme this year, coming from the book of Philippians, Together We Thrive. And we have a section on praying for the unsaved, praying for health concerns, praying for general prayer requests and shut-ins, and then government leaders. And so on the back page of our prayer bulletin, by the way, Pastor has emailed that to all of you, and so you can pull a copy off of that and print it off on your printer if you like. And we have our missionaries, of course, our military as well. Just going down through here and mentioning a few, Karen Prince, still with terminal cancer, that's going on. And Pastor's going to announce about one bereavement that he knows about, and we'll do that here in just a minute. But we'll go through here. Lori Wickenberg is still ill. Angela Cross is still recovering from her surgery, and we're praying for that every day. And we're praying for the Ramoses, who did get back from Spain, and they're quarantined in their house, and we'll say hello tonight for that. Hope you're on board with the broadcast tonight. And we prayed you through, and we'll see you in 14 days, I guess. And we're going to be praying for Gerald Foster, who's traveling tonight, and Betty Campbell, and the Massia family with the adoption process. We'll be mentioning some of these prayer requests. Of course, our missionaries, we're thankful our pastor got back from London, England, about a week or so ago, and has lots of things to share with us. Concerning that, has shared some already. And so let's do go to prayer then tonight, and we'll begin in prayer even as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we do pray for the general ministries of our church, and Lord, we know this is a bit of a challenge of this at this time with the virus scare and so forth. And Father, we just give it to you. We put it in your hands. We know you are sovereign, and nothing is going to happen that is not known by you. You are surprised by nothing in this world. And Father, we don't know the end from the beginning, but thankfully, Father, you do. We give you glory and honor and praise as we begin our prayer time tonight. We do pray for our church in general as we sort of reshift thinking about the services and so forth. And we just thank you for the technology that lets us do this much. And I pray that you'd help us get all set for with some additional things for Sunday. And we just pray your blessing on the church as far as spiritual miracle and certainly spiritual salvations, sanctifications, and baptisms tonight. We do pray for that. We pray for some unsaved here, just a few. We do pray for Mike and Jacob and Kendall and Jeff and Sean and Ron and Abraham and David. And we pray for Dennis tonight as well from our list, that they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as their Savior tonight, trusting the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And Father, we do pray for some of these prayer requests tonight. We pray for Matt Crump with brain cancer. And we do pray for Pastor Rodney Holloman, as we've been mentioning him, with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We pray that you return him to full health and to his church. And Father, we do pray for Nancy Turner with cancer, Tina Peavy with breast cancer, and we do pray for the Brewer family, both Noel and Innes tonight, with health and back problems. We pray that you'd give great grace and strength there. We do pray for Angela Cross following her surgery. I pray that she'd be able to be back to 100% soon. And Father, we do pray tonight for Greg Wickenberg, quadriplegic with health issues. And we pray for Ashley Cross with thyroid issues, and that she would be with her, especially as she nears or has already had surgery. We pray for Jean Hare with a stroke and Vivian Barefoot with upcoming heart surgery. We do pray for Gerald Foster as he travels and drives tonight. We pray for the Massey family, that you help them as they're trying to adopt a little girl if they can. And I pray that you'll help that process to go well. And Father, tonight we do pray for Barbara Dixon from our shut-in list and Betty Monroe, and that you'd be very near them and their families tonight. And Father, we do think of all the families that have been affected by the coronavirus. We pray that you would be with the families of those that have lost loved ones. We pray that you would be with ones that are sick, and I pray that you'd help us as we try to limit our space between each of us and try to bring this virus under control. I pray that you will help the scientists that are working on a vaccine, that you will help them to develop the vaccine maybe quicker than any vaccine has ever been developed. And we just pray that you'll meet the need very quickly to help our nation, but also our entire world. If you think of our missionaries tonight, we specifically pick Brother Ed Bordell in Costa Rica as he church plants, but also as he teaches pastors that are existing and trains them, and has worked with many churches there in Costa Rica. We pray for his support. We pray for his personal health of he and his family. And I just pray for the ministry to expand and reach more people for the Lord Jesus. We pray for a few of our deployed military tonight. We pray for Dusty Hodges and Eva Brodsky and Jonathan Cross and Wilson Lambert and Todd Stanford and Lindsey Franklin tonight. And Father, we hold these soldiers before you and our entire list, and we pray that you'll bless them for the service they've given our country. But I do pray that especially those that might be in harm's way tonight, that you would protect them, keep them not only from the enemy, but from the virus, we pray. And Father, now we thank you for the ability to send out the Word of God in this very special way tonight. I pray that you'd be with the pastor as he brings the Word of God and shares with us what the Lord has laid on his heart. And we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Pastor's coming.
All right, thank you, Pastor Ken.
Appreciate you working so hard and diligently over the course of the last few days to get all of this up and running. And we do apologize. He worked all day today to get the camera set up and to be able to get it live streaming through our sermon audio page, but because of some different codes that need to be put in with the cameras and some other issues, we're not able to do that. So hopefully we can get all that squared away by Sunday. If not, then everything will be done by Facebook once again. And so this is going to be different. It's just looking at a camera. And I've got Pastor Ken, I've got Mike with me, so I'm not here all by myself.
But I do appreciate them coming in tonight and helping out with this as well. I do have some sad news to pass along to all of you. I did receive word that the young lady, our young small child, George Mae Webb, that we've been praying for I guess about a year, the brain cancer, passed away this morning about 9 o'clock. She just turned 6. I think it was yesterday she turned 6 years old. So she's with the Lord, but we need to pray for her parents, grandparents. Her grandmother taught my daughter Morgan in K-3, and we've known that family. The grandfather pastors a church up in the Raleigh, I believe Knightdale area, so we just need to pray for them during this very difficult time. Let me give you a couple of announcements. We did have on our schedule for canvassing this upcoming Saturday. We're going to cancel that, of course. But if you do want to, over the course of the next few weeks leading up to Easter, if you want a street that you and your wife or you and another person can go out and put some door hangers out, advertising for our Easter Sunday, let me know and I can get those door hangers to you. I can get a map to you of a street to be able to do. As of now, now things could change, just like everything has changed so much over the course of the last few days. We're going to continue this throughout the rest of the month of March. So this Sunday will be live streamed, next Wednesday live stream, the following Sunday live stream, and then probably the following Wednesday will be live streamed. But the first Sunday of April, we are shooting to be able to get back to our regular schedule. And then Pastor Ken and I talked this morning about changing our Easter weekend schedule. So as of now, what we're going to do is we're going to have our regular Good Friday service at 7 o'clock. We are not going to have a sunrise service, but we are going to have our regular Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock on Easter Sunday, and no Sunday night service on Easter Sunday. So that is our schedule as of right now. But once again, things could change. So keep an eye out on your email, text messages, by word of mouth. Check on one another. I know of one person today that went through the whole church directory and called, texted, checked on people. And you cannot do that enough. So let me encourage you. Text one another, call one another, especially those in our congregation that are older. Check on them, make sure they're okay, make sure they have food, water, and all of the basic necessities that they need in order to make it through this crisis. We're going to get through this. Okay, it's not the end of the world. We're having to make some lifestyle changes, but hopefully sooner than later, we'll be able to get back to a normal life of being able to get back to work regularly, being able to get back to church regularly. But I am very thankful, though, that we do have the technology, such as Facebook, such as Sermon Audio. Hopefully we'll be able to record this through the camera system that we do have, maybe post it onto our YouTube TV channel that we'll be establishing, so you can watch it there. But anyway, we'll get through this, and we'll just make the best of it for right now. But continue to pray for those in leadership positions in our healthcare industry and also in the government, that they will make the right decisions, and that we will get through this with very little damage. But pray for those also that have tested positive for the virus. For those that are in seclusion right now, such as Richard and Joyce Ramos, that are in their house and having to stay there because of being in Europe on vacation. So pray for all those that are having to be isolated. All right, let's get to our study tonight. So take the Bibles if you have them, which I hope you do, and let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we're going to discuss tonight, we're continuing our discussion of reasons to believe, and that is the evidence that Jesus is God's Son, or the deity of Christ. So we're going to look tonight at a couple of things that Jesus spoke about himself and how he demonstrated to us of how we are to be Christ-like and how we are to serve others. So let's look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 13. And let me get my clicker so we can go through this together. But let me read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to look at our study. All right, so it says in chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and they had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist." So let's stop there for a moment, and let's look here at the first thing tonight, and that is a demonstration of servanthood. A demonstration of servanthood. So letter A is the situation. The situation. So let me give you four significant events here just in these four verses that we need to talk just for a few moments about. The first one is this. In regard to the situation, we are now looking at verse 1. We're looking at just before the Passover feast. Now, verse 1, we see here a very significant word. And that word is the word new. K-N-E-W. New. Now, why is this significant? It signifies that Jesus knew that his hour had come, and that he would soon be departing from this world and go to be with his Father. He knew that the betrayal of Judas was imminent. He knew that his crucifixion was imminent. And it did not take Christ by surprise. Now, Jesus, there's a very significant expression here at the end of this verse. And that is, he loved them to the end. Now, what did that expression mean? He loved them to the end. Who is the them? Well, the them is his chosen 12. But it also shows this, that he loved his apostles so much that he was willing to show his love to them through a personal sacrifice and an amazing sacrifice. So the first thing is we have, just before the Passover, the deity and sovereignty of Christ. The second thing is he loved his disciples completely. And that is, once again, that is what is meant by that expression of having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He was about to show them the full extent of his love by washing their feet and dying on the cross for them. Number three, let's look at verse 2. During supper, during the Passover feast, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So the second thing is, he loved his disciples completely. The third thing is, the devil has already influenced Judas to betray Christ. John puts it this way, that the devil had put the thought of betrayal into the heart of Judas, meaning that he had directed Judas's total being to betray Jesus. So who is behind all of this? Satan is behind all of this betrayal. Now, it was directed by God. This is not taking God by surprise. It is not taking Jesus by surprise. It was all foreordained by God. But once again,
Satan is working behind the scenes to influence Judas to be the one to betray Christ. And then we also see in verse 3, Jesus knowing. There we have once again. We saw in verse 1, we saw knew. Now we see in verse 3, knowing. Now what does he know? He knows that the Father had given all things into his hands. This statement points out once again the sovereignty of Jesus, that Jesus was in control. Because it says, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. So let me ask a question here, and here's the key point that I want you to remember here, just in these first four verses. And what is that? The question is this: why does the fact that Jesus had sovereign control as he made his way to the cross, how does it help to convey the depth of his love? Simply this: Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus willingly laid down his life for the elect. No one forced him to do it. Jesus willingly went to the cross. His enemies could not have made him go if he wasn't willing. So now, as we're going to continue looking at this chapter, the sovereign was about to become a servant. He prepared to wash the disciples' feet. So that leads to a second thing, and letter B is the symbol. Letter B is the symbol. So read with me, if you will, verses 5 through 11. It says, then he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew, there we have that word again, knew. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. So, verse 6. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Now, why is this important that Jesus washed the disciples' feet? In that time, in that that era, there was, in the middle of a town, there was a bathhouse. And they had separate facilities, one for the men, one for the women. And they would go to that facility and bathe. Then afterward, because they wore sandals, they would then go back home. But when they would go back home, their feet would get dirty again. So when they got home, there was always a basin of water that sat at the door. And if they were wealthy enough, they had a slave, doulos. That slave then would wash the feet of the homeowner, or the spouse, the children, would wash their feet to complete the washing of their body. So, Jesus is betraying to them, I am your slave. I am your servant. I am completing the washing. So, here's a couple of things here. Peter now, as you well know, as we have discussed over and over and over, Peter is always opening up his big mouth. So here we see Peter asking Jesus, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, Peter, you do not understand this now, but afterward you will understand it. Peter told Jesus then that you will never wash my feet, as we see in verse 8. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's put ourselves in Peter's place. How would you think you would react if Jesus, your leader and the Son of God, began to wash your feet? Would you feel humiliated? Would you feel maybe unworthy? And I think that's what Peter felt here. I think Peter felt unworthy. Jesus, you're our Lord, you're God, and you're washing my feet? But then in verse 9, we see here the reply by Christ, and this is what he says. If I do not wash your feet, Peter, you do not belong to me. So then Peter said, well then wash all of me. Wash my hands, wash my head, wash all of me. But see, the answer that Christ gave was instructive. Because it shows here that foot washing illustrates the spiritual cleansing that is provided by the death of Jesus. He then goes on to further explain that whoever is washed has had an initial cleansing, a cleansing that does not need to be repeated. The disciples, except one, were clean. Why? Because they had believed in Jesus and had been cleansed. So now let's look at letter C. And letter C is the significance. The significance. Let's look at verses 12 through 17. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, or as in the King James it says, verily, verily, which is the same word, truly, truly, or listen up. I say to you, a servant, now that word servant is the doulos word, which means slave. So you can put slave there. Is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So foot washing here in this culture was a task of the household slave. So what are some conclusions that the disciples have made here in pondering Jesus' question? This is what we can learn here. Serving others was important to Jesus. A true leader is not about being in charge. It is about serving others. It is just not about making major decisions. It is about serving others. I remember a few years ago, a pastor friend of mine passed away, and he was the pastor to some of my family members that lived out in the country, country church, and he'd been there for a number of years. I had heard him preach a couple of funerals of some family members, and he, to be honest, he was not the best speaker, not the best preacher. But when he died, that community mourned, and they mourned for a number of days. In fact, they went a couple of years without bringing a pastor in. And I remember asking a relative of mine, I said, when are y'all going to get a pastor? They said, oh, we're still mourning. I said, well, he's been dead a couple of years. I said, you know, he wasn't the best preacher. They all said, oh, we knew that. I said, well, what made him so important to you? They said, we all knew that he wasn't the best preacher, but we knew that he was a wonderful pastor. See, there's a difference between being a preacher and being a pastor. There's a difference in being one that preaches and one that serves. And see, Christ is saying here to his apostles, it is important for you to be a leader, but it is more important for you to be a servant. There's two words that I want you to look at here. And the first word is the word ought. The word ought. It expresses one's moral responsibility. It expresses one's obligation to act in a certain way. So Jesus was providing an example for them to do as he has done, where he says, as I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And then there's another word, example. We see in verse 15, in fact, I think you should underline or circle those words of ought and example, for I have given you an example. We should be like Christ. We should meet other people's needs. We should pray for one another. We should challenge one another spiritually. So we see in verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them, if you obey me. So we see here an example put forth by Jesus. And what is that example? Jesus washed his disciples' feet and is as an example of service. What is the significance? Jesus calls believers to humble, selfless service. So then we see Roman numeral number 2. And that is the disclosure of his betrayal. The disclosure of his betrayal. So let's begin with verse 18 and let's go all the way down to verse 30. So bear with me and follow along in your Bibles if you have them with you, which I hope you do. Verse 18, it says, I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, talking about John, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. So I want to give you some points here in regard to this. Jesus then announced his coming betrayal. He did not identify Judas by name, but he told the 12 that he knew the disciples he had chosen. Judas was not chosen by mistake. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him before Judas did. So when Judas was chosen to be an apostle, he was chosen for this one task. And that was to be the one that would betray Jesus. Now I want you to note in verse 19 the word I am. As we have been discussing since we began this series back in January, that Jesus often used those two words, I am. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is God. But then we also see something else. And it says that in verse 21, that Jesus now is troubled in spirit. What does that mean? It simply means this, an emotional disturbance. It means that he is feeling turmoil on the inside, because now he knows that that one that he has invested his life in for the last 3 years of ministry is now going to betray him. Jesus pointed to the traitor by giving him a piece of bread. And then he gives a command to Judas. And that is that the job that you have been given, go do it quickly. That word quickly means this. It means do it at once. What did he do? Did he hang around? No. In verse 30, it says that he did it immediately. He was ready to betray Jesus. All that remained was the opportunity now to betray Jesus. So let me ask you this question. Based on the actions of Judas, now we looked earlier at how did Jesus encourage the others to be servants. Now how do you think the attitude of Judas is towards servanthood? I think as Judas sat there and Jesus washed his feet, and I think as he heard Jesus teach them about what a true servant is all about, I think that he looked at him with disdain. I think that it made no sense to him at all. He wanted to get as much for himself out of the imminent arrest of Jesus that he could get. Judas was no longer thinking about anything other than himself. When he started following Jesus, it was all about what can Jesus do for me? And we see that in today's society. We see so many people say, okay, I'll follow Jesus as long as I get something out of it. As long as he can do for me what I want him to do. How do they view Jesus? They view Jesus as a cosmic bellhop. They view Jesus as a cosmic Santa Claus. But Jesus is saying here in these verses that we have been looking at that we are to be servants. So then that leads to a third point. And that is a discourse about his departure. A discourse about his departure. So the first thing in regard to this is, letter A, a command to disciples. Judas is out of the picture. He's gone. He's left. Jesus now is beginning to give what we can call a farewell discourse, a final address to the remaining 11. So let's look at verses 31 through 38. When he had gone out, talking about Judas, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as also I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So in verse 32, we see that Jesus now gives three certainties about his coming glorification. The first thing is this: God would be glorified in the death of Jesus. Secondly, God would glorify Jesus in himself when he himself raised Jesus from the dead. God vindicates the ministry of Jesus, especially his death, when he is raised from the dead. This would bring glory to Jesus. Thirdly, God would glorify Jesus without delay. His death was imminent. It was coming soon. Jesus then tells the disciples they were unable to go where he is going. But a new commandment is given. A new commandment is given. And what is this? Love one another just as I have loved you. So the disciples could love as Jesus loved. Now, what kind of love did Jesus show to them? What kind of love did Jesus show to us? Very simply, sacrificially love, sincere love, consistent love. And look at verse 35. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also ought to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Okay, so what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying that those on the outside of the church will know that we are different because of our love for one another. Because of our sacrificial, sincere, consistent love for one another. It is uncommon. It is unnatural to look outside of yourself and look at the needs of others. Peter interrupts in verse 36 where he says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. So Peter gives a proclamation. That proclamation is, I will follow you, and I will even follow you to the point of where I will die for you. But then Jesus gives a prediction. And that is, that before the night is over, you will have denied me three times. That word deny is a strong word. It means this, to disclaim association, or to fall back from a previous relationship with someone. And that is exactly what Peter did after Christ was arrested, was crucified. He disclaimed any kind of relationship with Jesus. And then we see what would be a comfort for the disciples. Okay, this section of scripture that we're going to look at, verses 1 through 15, has often been quoted, has often been read at funerals. It has been read at times of crisis, and I think that it's very appropriate that we read these verses, because right now our nation, our world, many that will see this and listen to this later are worried about the current events that are happening in our world today. But Jesus gives an instruction here. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, so is the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus now makes an announcement of his coming to departure. And when Jesus is given his announcement of his coming departure, it causes a state of confusion. It causes trouble in the hearts and the minds of the 11 that are there. And Jesus gives a command, and he says, stop being troubled. Here is a remedy. Believe in the Father and believe in me. He comforts them also by identifying his destination, where he says in verse 2 that I am going to my Father's house, or I am going to heaven, and while there I am preparing a place for you, that I will come and get you, and I will receive you unto myself. Here we have, as J. Vernon McGee says, the words of a gentleman. There are three important things to note here in the reply that Jesus gives. First, he refers to himself as I am. There we have it again. What does this mean? It means that Jesus is the Son of God. He has been sent by God. He also states that he is three things. Notice, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Okay? Number one, what does it mean by the way? Now notice, there is a key word there in front of way, and that is the, T-H-E. Not a way, the way. So he says, the way. What does it mean by this? He is the link between sinners and God. He is our mediator. He is the high priest. Secondly, I am the truth. He has accurately revealed God. And then the life. What does it mean by this? Eternal life is in him. And then we see another thing. And that is in verses 15 through 24, some comments about loving him. Some comments about loving him. In verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The word keep means obey. It means this, to hold firmly to the commandment so that nothing gets lost in understanding or the execution of what I have commanded you to do. And then he also says this in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, as is the earlier translations. The ESV here has the word helper. Comes from the same word, comforter, helper. Comes from the same word, a paraclete. And it means this. It means comforter. It means helper. And it goes on to say, to be with you for how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest or show myself to him. Now Judas, who was not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Now, who is this helper? Who is this comforter? Well, this is the Holy Spirit. The Father would send another helper. And once again, it is someone who would help the disciples as Jesus had, and that is the Holy Spirit. So what difference should the Holy Spirit make in our lives as we serve the Lord? Well, it means that we are to rely upon the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit gives us direction, gives us power in our service, and brings glory to the Father. So what would Jesus think of our obedience if we did it just out of duty or obligation? Well, simply this. We're doing it out of duty and obligation, not out of love. And then we see the letter D quickly. We see some comments about leaving them. Verse 25 and 26, it says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." A couple of points here. The Holy Spirit is going to do two related ministries for the disciples. Number one, he will teach them all things. Secondly, he will bring back to disciples' memory things that Jesus had taught them. And then we see in verses 27 through 31, we see a conclusion to the discourse. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced. Because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." So what is he saying? He's just saying basically this: have courage. Have courage. Because we see here, he says in verse 27, that I am given peace to you. And he says, do not be troubled, do not be afraid. That word afraid is the opposite of courage. It means you're having a lack of courage, which then can become panic. He says in verse 28, he says, rejoice because I am going to the Father. He says in verse 29 that he tells his disciples about his death before it happens so that they would believe. He's also telling them, trust me more when they see his words verified. What would mean by that? That their faith will grow. So what is the main lesson that we need to learn from this? Well, it's basically this. Okay, last week Jesus is able to raise the dead to life. What is the thing that we learn from this tonight? Jesus demonstrates humble service. He demonstrates humble service. Well, let me encourage you. Serve others. Live for others. We'll be talking about that some more this upcoming Sunday morning as we meet on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Let's pray together, baby. Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the example that Christ set as he washed the apostles' feet. Father, help us, Lord, to lay aside our selfishness, to lay aside our selfish ambitions for self-glorification, selfish motives of getting involved in relationships that we see, what can I get out of this relationship? How can this relationship benefit me? But Father, help us, Lord, to not think about ourselves, but to think about others. Dismiss us with thy blessing. And as we go into the rest of this week, as we go into Sunday, this upcoming Lord's Day, I ask and I pray that you would prepare our hearts, and our minds to be focused on, even though we will not be gathered in this building on Sunday, but as we watch and as we listen, that even though we are a few miles apart, you will still be among us. And that we will learn from the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for turning in tonight.
Feel free to share this on your Facebook page if you would, so that others may see this and others watch this in the future. God bless you, and we will see you back Sunday morning.